You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Last segment, we highlighted community gardens in the First State, but many of you may want to flex your green thumbs in your own backyard, and we're here to help with that too. Before you buy your seeds, it's important to note that for the first time since 2012, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has updated its Plant Hardiness Zone map, which helps gardeners know what to plant and where to garden. The new map reflects rising temperature trends. The new map reflects rising temperature trends, with Delaware largely in a new zone with warmer temperatures. Overall, the new map is about 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than the old map across the United States. Delaware Public Media's Joe Irizarry sat down this week with Olivia DiFilippo, Horticulture Manager at the Delaware Center for Horticulture, to learn more about the new Plant Hardiness Zone map and gardening this year in the First State.
Olivia, we've seen a bit of a cold snap here in the area recently, but spring has indeed sprung. It officially started this week, and that means gardeners are warming up their shovels and rakes, and this year brings a new twist with the updated plant hardiness map from the USDA. But before we get to that, what are the most important things people can do right now to prep their garden for the rising spring temperatures and the spring season? Like cleaning up the yard, raking leaves, cleaning the drains, you know, stuff like that.
Sure. So it seems like this is the week where our part of the land is getting our second winter. Usually this time of year, spring starts and it comes, but we usually get another cold snap. Typically for garden prep and especially for cutbacks, you want to wait until we have five days of at least 50 degree weather. That gives time for our beneficial insects and native bees to leave where they're in their diapause, or what is their hibernation period. So lots of times, like for example, in perennials, you could have a hollow stalk from last year's growth. Bees will actually burrow into those stalks and they sleep there in the winter. So if you cut back your perennials too early or cut back your crops, you could be quite literally throwing away beneficial insects and bees. So that's number one thing that I always look for, is that 5 days of 50 degree weather. You mentioned leaf cleanup. So here at the DCH and in my own personal practice, we like to say leave the leaves. So leaves are a great natural compost, natural mulch. You know, if mulching's not for you, don't do your yard cleanup. You can save those leaves. You can chop them into a finer material and use that as your mulch, and which will essentially just degrade back into the earth and provide nutrients for the plants that are in your garden. So we like to leave the leaves here. We haven't started mulching yet. Mulching really comes after we install. If we're adding new plants, we'll mulch afterwards. And we try and use arbor mulch as much as possible, or leaf litter for mulch versus dyed mulches. The arbor mulch degrades at a really nice pace and leaves a lot of nutrients in the soil. So if you live in an urban site, or you know, have had your soil tested and it doesn't have the nutrient profile that you want, arbor mulch can help kind of restore your media or your soil. A big one for everyone at this time is weed eradication. We're really working on weeding a lot, trying to get our native weeds under control, which is always a struggle. And any gardener will probably say the same thing. We've done a little bit of seed starting too, now that it's getting warmer out.
Now, this next question, it might have an obvious answer, but what are the most ideal conditions for gardening in the spring, and what do those look like in this region?
So a lot of folks will say you want to wait until after Mother's Day to plant your veggies outside. Some things, however, can be planted before or after your last frost date. Some veggies, like your brassicas, spinach, greens, they can benefit from a little bit of cold weather. It actually helps your crop taste sweeter, have a little bit more flavor if they do get a cold snap. So depending on what you're planting, the cold might help your crop. Yeah, typically just in between your last frost date and Mother's Day. After Mother's Day is typically when folks will start planting their annuals. Garden centers get really busy. And now that we've moved from 7A to 7B, I'm anxious to see what kind of changes we'll come across this growing season and see how that change of the hardiness zone map affects our area.
If you've been a gardener in Delaware long enough, you might have noticed the conditions and the environment changing around you, and that was confirmed with the USDA recently updating their plant hardiness zone map, which shows rising temperatures trends and basically serves as a guide for gardeners so they know what to plant and where to garden. Delaware is almost entirely in a new zone with warmer temperatures. So what do you make of that, Olivia, and how exactly does that factor into gardening plans?
Most gardeners should be familiar with creating sun maps for your yard or your site where you're going to plant. And that's just kind of making visual maps of how much sun your area gets per day, how many hours. And that's how you would kind of start to plan. But with that change in hardiness zone, I think we'll see an increase. I think we'll definitely see an increase in weed pressure this year just from the early weather, it warming up a lot earlier. It started getting warm around here at least a few weeks ago. It's been signs of spring for quite a while now. And folks I've been talking to have mentioned how like early perennials are popping up and early they're seeing buds on trees. So I think we'll start to see crops kind of waking up from their dormancy and starting their spring growth a lot earlier. Which could in turn cause some confusion because around here we do get those second cold snaps. So, a few worries that I have are for our pollinators. If folks are doing cutbacks too early, raking and throwing away your leaf litter is essentially throwing away pollinators and bees. So, I'm worried for our pollinators with this change in hardiness zone. I don't think it will affect what we're able to grow in our area that much because it hasn't. Although the change was drastic for USDA to change the hardiness zone map, I don't think it's drastic enough for us to have to really modify what we're able to grow in this area. I mean, we still can't grow tropicals. No one's going to be able to grow monsteras in their backyard or pothos up their trees. We're certainly not warm like Florida is, but I think spring is going to start coming earlier now. So folks will have to start their garden prep a little earlier in the coming years.
Pivot and dig a little deeper into gardening specifics. If you're in the brainstorming stage, how do you plan out your garden? You've mentioned the importance of sunlight, but where should you start with planning?
Oh man, well, I think that can vary person to person and site to site. If you're gardening at home, I suggest choosing an area that gets ample sunlight through the day, but also some afternoon shade. I would suggest an area that has adequate moisture. So I would not start a vegetable garden, for example, on a hill or a sloped area. Or a sunken in area that might hold rainwater. You kind of want the flattest area of your yard that gets the most sun and a bit of shade. If you're starting fresh, I would just go with plants that you like. A lot of gardening comes with its research. You have to be willing to put in the research about the plants you want to cultivate. It's really difficult to grow something and not know its growth pattern. And that's how people's gardens get wild and out of control. And I think lots of folks are looking for that more like maintained look. I would definitely start by getting a soil test, which the University of Delaware's Department of Agriculture does do free soil testing. So they're a great resource to have. You definitely want to get a soil test first. And they'll be able to tell you all the components of your media and your NPK ratios, if you need to add an amendment, if you need to, fix your alkalinity or your pH, they could suggest that to you as well. So that's where I always like to start is testing my soil. That's definitely number one, picking a good site and testing your soil.
There are also always questions out there concerning pests and insects eating up plants. What advice do you have for listeners trying to go natural?
Oh, sure. So host plants are key to having a successful garden. For example, marigolds are an aphid magnet. So if you want to keep aphids off your, I don't know, your tomatoes or aphids off your plants, if you companion plant with marigolds, other florals, some herbs, will deter common garden pests. Because you certainly don't want to use any chemical applications on vegetables, anything you're going to consume. I would stay away from chemical control and just go with more biological and mechanical control, which would be more like physical, like weed removal. You can focus on your natural predators. So, for example, a large issue in vegetable gardening is the tomato hornworm. Pycnanthemum or mountain mint is a magnet for, and I can't tell you exactly what species of wasp it is. It's slipping my mind right now, but there's a species of wasp, parasitic wasp, that will basically infect the tomato hornworm with eggs, and the eggs will grow out of the hornworm. So, for example, last year around my tomatoes, I planted some mountain mint, and the mountain mint attracted the natural predator for the tomato hornworm. So I didn't have to do any, manual removal. I didn't even think about it. My mountain mint was taking care of my tomatoes. And that's just one benefit to companion planting. But I would definitely say to folks to do research on what plants can benefit you in your garden, not just plants that you want to eat or consume.
And in terms of watering, and this is a two-part question, how much does the kind of water matter? For example, tap water versus filtered water. And how should we water the plants? Bottom up or top down? Does it depend on the plant?
Typically, you shouldn't have to water your garden much if we're getting adequate rainfall. If we have another drought, like a 6-week drought like we did last year, folks are definitely going to have to lay down water on their gardens and their properties. Plants that are planted in the ground, in the earth, shouldn't need as much water as container plants do, right? Because your adventitious roots can really scoot away from the plant and find that water that they're looking for. And in the ground, your plants have an opportunity to grow a more vigorous root system than they do in a container. If we're talking about containers, a myth that I'd love to bust is you can't just check your plants every Monday and Friday. If you're a dedicated container gardener, you should be checking your containers every day, if not twice a day, to see how much they're drinking, how much sun they're getting, and how much water they need. Another myth I'd like to bust is bottom-up irrigation. That's actually really detrimental to your plants in containers because, especially if you're fertilizing your container plants, if you don't get that leachate, that runoff that runs out of your container, you're risking salt buildup in your pots, in your containers, which can cause nutrient lockout for your crops. So, bottom watering can do a lot more harm than it can good. So I definitely suggest top-down irrigation and checking your containers often. This is another situation where I highly suggest researching the plants you're buying, how they grow, and what conditions they prefer.
Thanks to Olivia DiFilippo, Horticulture Manager at the Delaware Center for Horticulture, and our Joe Irizarry for joining us on The Green this week. Up next, Arts Playlist, where we head to the Brandywine Conservancy and Museum of Art for a preview of the new Jamie Wyeth exhibit there. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.